And what I've learned is just like, you know, when you're down, just, you know, reset. Like, I know once I hit the gym, then everything starts to like make sense again, you know? My body and my mind just starts to merge together into one, and everything starts to like, you know, to calm down. Everybody has to go through those, man. And what I say is just don't make any harsh decisions while you're down. Just wait, you know? And then, you know, make a good decision where everything's stable.
Hello, my name is Aaron Wexler, and welcome to another episode of Within the Game. Within the Game is all about sharing inspiration, right? That's what it's all about. It's staying inspired, it's sharing other people's inspiration, and it's hopefully being inspired to keep going on this path of life, right? Of sports, of entrepreneurship, and just helping each other out, right? And that's what it's all about. And thank you to the listeners of the fans, listeners and fans. If you'd like to support the show, a great way to do that is to grab a copy of my book, The Inspired Athlete, which again is all about sharing inspiration and tapping into the inspired athlete inside of you, which I believe is within everybody. Please do all the things, the likes, the subscribes, the all that stuff. It really does help the show. And please support my guests. And today's guest is the one and only Dr. Juan Salinas. Dr. Juan, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, what's up, Aaron? How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Hey, Dr. Juan is
a
sports
coach. A copy of that book, my brother.
Yeah, I'll send you one.
When I get the book.
I'll send you a signed copy, man. Dr. Juan is a sports nutritionist with a PhD from Rutgers in food science with over 25 years in the food and snack space, having worked for companies like Kraft, Nabisco, and Nestle. He's a former competitive natural bodybuilder, as well as a former member of the Honduran national swim team. Let's go. He's the owner and CEO of Perfect Life Nutrition, a company that created Peanut Crunch, a plant-based, nutritious, crunchy peanut puff snack. In 2020, Dr. Juan appeared on Shark Tank, my favorite show, and got a deal with Mark Cuban for Peanut Crunch. His IG is at Peanut Crunch and website is peanut.com. Dr. Juan, I appreciate you so much. And the number one question I always start all these episodes with is this idea of inspired living. What does that mean to you?
I'm sure that's a lot of question. You know, a lot of people, it really got me thinking a lot about it. You know, when I knew you were going to interview me and you told me, okay, this is all about inspiration. I was like, oh man, what does inspiration means to me, right? And where did I get it from? And, you know, it all, I think, goes down to something a lot bigger than I am. And that's inspiration. So I'm always, you know, I'm always think that I was given certain talents. And it's my job to figure it out, to figure out what they are. So I need to discover what they are. And then I need to use them. You know, I've always believed that. And I believe that by doing that, I'm making my creator happy. And that really is my inspiration. So my inspiration is a personal challenge that I have that is about discovering, you know, these talents that I have and then using them to the point where like I'm maximizing, you know, that talent. So for instance, I discovered that since I was a little kid, man, I used to love playing with ants. I used to love like searching for little things, you know, and it was all about discovery for me. And I still do that today. You know, the fact that I went into food science and created my own product now, it was all about that. It was about discovering something new. It was about, you know, the challenge of creating something that wasn't out there. And that was what kept me going, you know, until this point. And the same thing with sports. You know, you mentioned that I've done a little bit of sports back in Honduras and swimming, and now, you know, I did some bodybuilding, and it was about the same thing. It's like, okay, I feel like after I started working out, you know, I have the body to develop muscle. It's like, okay, how far can I get it? You know, and I start just by having fun at the gym. Then it's like, you know what, maybe I should enter a competition. And then it's like, oh, maybe I should become pro, you know? And I just like take it higher until, you know, then you switch to something else. So that I think that's part of my inspiration, you know, just utilizing those talents and just trying to make my creator happy.
Man, I absolutely love that. And I respect that so much. And thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, a big part of my audience is athletes and entrepreneurs, right? So I gotta give you a follow-up question to this idea of inspired living, which is like, what makes an athlete an inspired athlete, and what makes an entrepreneur an inspired entrepreneur?
Yeah, for me, they kind of merge together, which is kind of cool. You know,
yeah.
As you know, the product that I made is a product that I developed with the thinking of the athlete. You know, so I did a lot of work with athletes in my, you know, before I started my company. I used to work with other companies that were into performance nutrition, and I was actually developing snacks and products to help improve performance on athletes. And I'm talking about like elite athletes. And so I learned a lot about what your body requirements are, and I learned a lot about nutrition, you know, for your body. And so, you know, when I was starting to think about creating a new product and my entrepreneurship, you know, mine, that's where you went, of course, right? I had to go into something that I was like passionate about, which was like working with athletes, you know, talking about like how food affects your body. And I was like, oh, okay. So what if I create a product that actually does good to your body, especially if you're an active person, not necessarily an athlete, you know, because I wanted to get away just from specifically targeting athletes. I wanted to kind of, you know, cover everybody. And to some point, we're all active, right? So it's like, what can I develop that has the nutrients that everybody that is somewhat active, you know, needs and requires? And that's kind of like where my entrepreneurship and my, you know, and my love for sports and exercise just kind of came and blended together, which I'm the luckiest person in the world to be able to do that. You know, it's like two of my things, you know, my talents and my passions just merging together. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, man. And you know, you can just like feel that energy radiating from you. Like even when I met you at Expo West, you know, like I was like, I knew who you were right away. And I was like, oh, he was on Shark Tank. But like your energy is like, it's just joyful and happy. And I think that's part of being an inspired, you know, entrepreneur or athlete, because you know what what lights you up. You know, you're following your passion and your joy and you're living it, you know? And so I just want to say, like, that's so cool, right? Because there's so many of us, myself included, right? Like, there's so many days where I'm just like, I feel like defeated, or I feel down, or I feel uninspired. And I feel like, oh man, this is too much, right? Because being an athlete and an entrepreneur can be overwhelming, yeah. You know? But when you find that joy and you find that passion or the inspiration, which is what we're talking about, how do you hold on to it, right? How do you push through those down days? You know, like that, actually, that's a question for you. Like, how do you hold on to that joy?
I was gonna say, dude, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation today and not yesterday, because today, yesterday was a very low day for me. And it's one of those days where you're just like, oh man, like, you know, how do I get inspired? You know, like, what do I do? And really, you know, and I'm sure that happens to everybody, right? Everybody goes through these cycles of ups and downs as an entrepreneur. And what I've learned is just like, you know, when you're down, just, you know, reset. Like, I was like, you know, I usually leave work at 7. I was like, no, I'm leaving at 5. I'm not going to spend 2 more hours here just like going crazy, being with social media. And I'm going to go to the gym, you know. And I know once I hit the gym, then everything starts to like make sense again, you know. My body and my mind just starts to merge together into one, and everything starts to like, you know, to calm down. And that's exactly what I did, man. Went to sleep, got up this morning, and I was just like, yes, I'm ready. Everybody has to go through those, man. And what I say is just don't make any harsh decisions while you're down. Just wait, you know, and then, you know, make a good decision where everything's stable.
I like that. I like that a lot. Let's get into the product, man. You sent me this product. I kind of wish I had it to show on camera right now, but I ate it all, man. And for the audience. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. This is one of our flavors, one of the new flavors. It's the cheddar jalapeno, which is our second best selling, man. Our first.
That's a really good one. Yeah. I like the original. And I just want to explain to the audience my taste test on it, right? Yeah. You sent me that. Yeah. It was really good. It's kind of like, imagine like a nutritious Cheeto. you know, and it's got this awesome crunch. It's like I love how you made it not so sweet, right? Because the sweet the, when you taste something really, really sweet, it can be a little overwhelming, especially for like a healthy snack, which this is. And I think you would even call it a nutritious snack, right? Yeah. So talk a little bit about the actual product, which is delicious. I will be ordering more. And talk about, yeah, to talk about like the idea of a nutritious snack versus a healthy snack.
Yeah, no, so exactly right, you know, and that's one of the things when I first started the company, I was like, I want to start this new area of snacking, and I'm going to call it nutritious snacking, you know. And I don't know if I'm the inventor of the nutritious snacking. Maybe there was other, you know, products that fit into that category. But, you know, I felt like, okay, you know, I know that there's healthy products, healthy snacks. And what I define those as are those products that are made with natural ingredients. Maybe there's nothing artificial, you know, they're devoid of certain things. That is healthy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's nutritious, right? Nutritious means that it's got to have the right, you know, nutrients in there that will nourish your body, right? So for us, you know, that are active people, that's how I started. It's like, all right, what can I create as a snack? You know, because I know we're all snacking. What can I create, you know, that kind of will nourish my body while I'm snacking and not just, you know, filling myself with empty carbs or fat or salt, or a bunch of sugar, which is what you normally find on a vending machine, right? Potato chips, pretzels. I mean, this is all basically products that have, you know, just not very nutritious, empty calories. And that was my challenge. And so the first thing was like, all right, what kind of ingredients can I put into a product that will kind of cover everything? So I wanted to have complete protein, you know, I want it to be plant-based thing, but because it's plant-based, the protein has to be complete. It's got to have all the amino acids required, especially if you're active, you know, to build muscle and to keep you active and going. So that was one requirement. The other one was like, okay, the carbs, right? It can't be all sugar, you know, which is just simple sugar that is going to turn into glucose right away and just give you the spikes and then into fat. You know, we know the whole story about, you know, high sugar. So I'm like, it's got to have a level of carbohydrates that will give you energy, more sustained energy rather than the spikes of energy. And the other thing was like satiety, right? Like, if it's a snack, so it's a snack, it's a meal bridge, you know? So you want to use it as something between meals, and it had to satisfy. You had to feel like, okay, I just had my snack. Now I feel good. I can wait another 3 hours before I hit my dinner or whatever. And so for that, you know, fiber was important. You know, it's got to have the right amount of fiber. So man, I was going like, all right, like there's so many ingredients, so many cool things. Oh, and the most important thing, right? It's got to taste good.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
tastes good.
It doesn't matter if it's got like the best nutrition in it. People will try it once because of it, but then they won't come back again if it doesn't taste good. So my challenge was to come up with ingredients that will provide all those nutrients and at the same time taste good. And so I started with peanuts, you know, was kind of like my first ingredient. And obviously we all know how tasteful peanuts are and peanut butter. And now it's like, okay, how do I surround that with other ingredients that complement that, not only a nutrition point of view, but also from a flavor perspective? And that's how I arrived with like rice and beans, you know, and peanuts. And that combination gave me the complete protein. It gave me the fiber that we wanted. It gave me the low glycemic index carbohydrates. And, you know, and we had a product after that. I just
I'm
simplified
out.
because it took like a year to develop,
Right.
but simplistically speaking, that's kind of how it went.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I wanted you to take an opportunity to explain to the audience a little bit more in depth on the complete protein and just like carry on your knowledge of protein in general, right? Because there's so many different approaches to how much protein do we need and when do we need it and all that stuff. So yeah, talk about protein.
Yeah, man. So protein is one of my favorite subjects. And I've worked with so many athletes on protein. Obviously, protein is, you know, it's the building blocks for muscle building and repair. So if you go to the gym, you do need protein in order to repair the muscles that you just stressed. And, you know, you want to grow muscles, you want to get bigger or whatever, you need the protein. So protein is that ingredient that your muscle needs to feed on in order to basically, you know, grow. Now, there's different types of protein. You know, sometimes a lot of companies just blur protein, expecting, you know, the consumer to say, okay, there's a bunch of protein here, I'm good. A lot of, you know, people are not aware of is that there's different types of protein, you know, and not only do we have animal protein versus plant protein, but we also have different levels of different quality of protein within the two areas. And, you know, what you want to give your body is the best quality of protein, meaning by quality, I mean that it has to have all the elements that your body requires in order to build muscle. And in the case of protein, that's amino acids, right? So the amino acids build a protein. So proteins are built of amino acids. It's a whole chain of amino acids. And in your body, once it enters your body breaks down the protein into a single amino acid. So whether you have an animal protein or a plant protein, your body's gonna break it down into its individual amino acids. Now, the question is, which amino acids are in that protein, in those two different proteins? And there's a certain amino acid, there's 20 amino acids that your body requires, you know, and some of them are not even obtained by food, by your body. Your body can make them up, so you have to get them through food. And they are called essential amino acids. And those are the amino acids that you want to make sure that the protein that you're eating in your product has them. And that it has them at the right amounts too, you know, and that they're digestible too, because it could be there, but not being digestible. And therefore, you're not really utilizing all of it. You know, it might go through and eventually you get rid of it. Quantity is important, quality is important, being complete is important, because that way you ensure that it has all the essential amino acids that your body requires. And timing is important, you know, as you know. I always tell people that snacks are great because you want to feed your body with protein all day long. That's the reality. So, you know, there's plenty of studies that already proven that the best way that your body is always starving for protein after exercise. And so it's not just that window that we always heard about, you know, the little window 30 minutes after your workout. It's through the whole 24 hours after. And your body wants to assimilate protein and use that to recover and to grow. And if you're not feeding protein to it, you know, basically, in a way, you're kind of wasting that effort that you put in your exercise. So that's when snacks come in. That's important, because you can have a snack, you know, every 3 hours between your meals, and you're putting some protein into it, and therefore, you know, you're not wasting, you know, any of that effort that you put in doing exercise or sport.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for being a fan of the show. I really appreciate your support. And if you'd like to further support the podcast, please grab a copy of my book, The Inspired Athlete. The Inspired Athlete is all about my personal growth journey, my athletic journey, my spiritual journey, all combined into one. And really the idea is that the energy of the inspired athlete is within us all, and it's up to us to evoke that. And whether you consider yourself an athlete or a competitor or not, it's my belief that the energy of the inspired athlete is within us. Even if you just decide to take a deep breath and just move your body, that's the inspired athlete. So it would mean a lot if you could help support the book project as well as the podcast by grabbing a copy. Links to the Amazon paperback version as well as the Audible audiobook version are listed below in the description. Thank you very much for your support. Stay inspired, y'all.
Yeah, man. You know, I think it's one of the number one things like that's missing in a lot of athletes' journeys, right? And just everyone, like we all have to we all have to think of food all day long, basically, right? Like, what are we going to eat today? right? When am I going to eat? How is it going to best, you know, maximize my performance, my potential, you know? And so these are thoughts that we always have. And so that's why I think your product is so smart, because you're offering a choice to say, hey, you know, like, get a little complete protein in you, you know, while you're going throughout your day, while you're prepping your next meal, you know? And when I think of the inspired athlete again is this energy inside all of us that's constantly looking for the best choice, right? That's what I think the inspired athlete is doing. It's like, where should we go this way? Should I go that way? Should I eat this? Should I not eat that? Right. And so knowing that, you know, if I'm hungry, if I need a snack, this would be a good choice to go to rather than some of those other things that you mentioned, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing. Like, when you find a product that is nutritious like this, you don't have to think about, like you say, you know, constantly think about what should I eat? No, if you could have one product that's got everything you need right there, boom, you don't have to worry about it. You know,
yeah.
Now, you know, when you have your next meal, that's when you, want to make sure that you have whatever your macros that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bridge, man. To me, I tell people it's not a meal replacement. You can go and find 30 gram protein bars that claim to be, you know, meal replacements and all that stuff. This is a snack, you know?
Yeah.
Just to get you through, you know, that half point between your meals.
Yeah, I find that it's great to have in the car as well as a backpack, right? So like when you're cruising around, you can just eat. You're not constantly worried about like you're saying the macros, like, oh, what am I supposed to be? No, I can just grab a little snack, get a little protein real quick, right? That's why I like it. I want to talk about your Shark Tank story, but before we do, I want to also mention that we are aware that there could be a peanut allergy, right? That a lot of people have. I would like you to share because I'm inspired by the way that you created your own facility about that. So I would like you to share that story, because you're aware of this allergy, right? This allergen that could affect a lot of people. Yeah. So I chopped up that question, but basically what I'm saying is share your inspiration to create your own facility because of that allergen.
Yeah, no, man. And that was, you know, I get that question a lot, because one of the rules, you know, of entrepreneurship and coming out with a new innovation is like, well, you know, make sure you can make it, you know,
yeah.
If you're going to create it, make sure you can make it. And that was one of the things. I'm, as a food scientist and having been in the industry for over 25 years, you know, I knew about the challenges that I will encounter with using peanuts. And the challenge, obviously, is that a lot of people are actually, it's not a lot of people, to be honest with you. There's more people that are allergic to milk than to peanuts. But the severity of the allergy is higher on peanuts, and that's why it gets the most attention. All right.
Got you.
And you know, the thing is that here in this country, United States, the incidence is higher than any other country. And I'm from Honduras. We never heard about peanut allergens back when I was home. I mean, we never even talk about it. I didn't even hear about this until I got into the United States.
I wonder if that's, sorry to interrupt. I wonder if that's because we tend to eat overly processed foods, even peanuts.
Similar, not exactly, but the studies show that the reason is because the guidance for new moms, you know, to feed their babies is not to give them peanuts until they're like 5 years old. So what happens is that by that time, the baby's bodies are already developed, the immune system has already developed, and you never expose them to this allergen, you know, and so your body will react, you know, adversely to it. When they did a study with, so there was a study done in Israel with Jewish kids, and they had families that were first generation here in the US and families in Israel. And they kind of followed their life, you know, and they noticed that the families here in the US were starting to develop peanut allergies, while the families in Israel, the incidence of peanut allergies was extremely low. And they were like, wait, what's going on in the United States that is causing people to have allergies? And it kind of came down to what I just explained before. In Israel, there's a product out there that has peanut in it that is very like famous. I mean, it's a very popular product to give to kids. And so they give their kids when they're babies, they're starting with this product and peanut. So they get exposed to peanut since they're like a very early age. While in the United States, they were waiting until 5 years old. And that's the difference. So now the government has realized this and they've changed. Now the guidance is different. Now it's, I believe, 6 months old is when they're recommending that you should start feeding your kids with peanuts. Obviously, under, guidance, under, watch, just make sure that there's not an adverse reaction to it. But that's how we're hoping that the incidence of allergies here in the US will come down. Now, to your question, because it's a long answer, man. I'm sorry.
No,
Just
it's
went off
okay.
on that. But the challenge for me was like the biggest challenge was to find a facility that could actually handle peanuts. Because if you remember, even 7 years ago, there was a huge like trend of allergen-free everything. Everything was allergen-free. So companies were going in that direction. And so all the co-manufacturers were starting to produce products that were allergen-free. So now here I come, all happy with this product and full of peanuts. And they were like, whoa, yo, now don't even come close to me, man. It's like, have you been around peanuts? I don't want to see you, And that was the biggest challenge for me because even though some of these companies that I found, they were like, yeah, I think we can make it. And then they realized after we started production, oh man, I'm sorry, we cannot. We can't isolate this peanut powder and everything else that we're using. So, I will get kicked out. And that happened like two times until the third time. I was like, no way, man, I'm not gonna go through that again. And it's like, what do we do? Should I just close shop, change my formula completely so it doesn't have peanuts, which is kind of like the base of the whole concept, or buy my own equipment? And obviously, I bought my own equipment. As crazy as that sounds, and everybody told me you're crazy, but yeah, here I am. I'm actually sitting in my facility here. It's a small facility, but I got my equipment out there. We do all the production ourselves, and now, funny enough, because there isn't enough manufacturers that can handle peanuts. Now I'm getting an influx of like questions. Hey, dude, can you do a product for me? That I put peanuts in it. So it's kind of opened up some other businesses for us too at the same time.
Thank you to new sponsor of the show, Stretch Life, located in Manhattan Beach, California. Stretch Life offers assisted stretching for anyone who wants to enhance their flexibility practice. And if you're like me, muscle tightness is something I deal with on a daily basis, whether I'm in the gym training or out on the beach playing beach volleyball or even sitting here doing this podcast. It's a challenge to make time for the daily stretch routine. And so I've been working with Amir over the last couple months over at Stretch Life, and I can tell a big difference in the way I feel. I have more range of motion, I have more energy, more muscle control, and just overall less pain. Stretch Life is offering Within the Game listeners 50% off your first session. Just mention Within the Game when you book online or when you call in for the discount. And also, if you do not have access to the Stretch Life studio, but you still want to learn more about how to enhance your flexibility practice, Amir is offering a free 20-minute phone call where he can share specific stretches and other specific tools that can help you. So visit stretchlife.com, that's Stretch Life spelled with a Y, to book your first session, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah, no, that's so cool, man. That's why that's inspiring, right? You see a problem or even an opportunity, right? We like that word as entrepreneurs, right? Opportunity, and you filled it. And I think that's so cool. And now you're going to get more opportunities because of that. And you took that leap of faith. And so that's super inspiring, man. So I gotta ask you about Shark Tank, right? It's my favorite show. Your episode has more than 4 million views. I'll link it here for anyone who hasn't seen it. But I would like you to just share briefly a little bit about that experience. How you got booked to be on the show, the thought process behind coming out and taking your shirt off and flexing on everyone, and just like the whole experience of getting a deal with Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Shark Tank was a blessing, man. It was a blessing because it came in 2020. That was the COVID year.
Right,
So
right.
we were making maybe, we were doing about 80% of our business was just all retail. And so you can imagine everything started to close and all of a sudden it went to like nothing. We were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And it's like, we have to focus on e-commerce, right? We have to go online and try to sell online. But we were just starting online. And it started to look pretty bad. And then I get the call from Shark Tank. I believe we applied like maybe a couple of years before, and I just kind of let it go. I forgot about it. It's like, you do your thing and then you wait, right? And see what they say. And funny enough, man, they call me and they're just like, hey, you'd be interested in coming and kind of trying out for the show. And I'm like, well, it's like this is a joke, and turned out to be real. I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. And and then the process of getting into Shark Tank is a long, it's a lengthy process. I mean, there's a lot of documents that you have to do first, and then there's also a lot of preparation. They want to make sure that you're someone that it's also going to be entertaining, right? It's an entertainment show, so you gotta be entertaining, and at the same time, you gotta be selling, a decent product to the investors, right? It's gotta be a real product, and it's gotta be something that they will be interested on. So you can see there's two different objectives there, One is to be entertaining so you could be on TV, and the other one is to see if you can get a deal. So there was a lot of preparation for that. One of the ideas we had as we talked with the producers is like, well, they're like, yeah, we noticed that you're a bodybuilder. And it's like, are you still doing that? I said, well, I'm like, I'm not, competing right now, but it's like, but you think you can get in shape? I was like, yeah, I could do it. I was like, we have an idea. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's up to you, it's all your decision, but it's like, what if you went in on the show and kind of like show your body? I was like, all right, let's work with that, And how can we make that fun, and not creepy? And so we came out with this idea about Dr. Huang, and coming up with a lab coat, and kind of surprising the sharks as to, hey man, I'm not just a scientist, but I'm also, as a competitive bodybuilder. So that's kind of how it went. And luckily it went good. And by divine intervention, actually, Mark Cuban's wife had already bought the product. And that was like so random, to be honest with you, because we weren't really highly distributed in Texas, which is where he lives. So the chances of her finding our product in Texas are very slim. And he tells the story how he went home one night and he saw the product and he started eating it and he finished the whole bag. The next morning, his wife was like, I'm pissed off, right? It's like, where's my bag of peanut? So he was all excited when he saw it, because what I'm being told is that they don't know anything about any of the brands that are coming in. So he had no idea that, peanut was coming in and present. And so for him, it was a surprise. But he knew about the product already, so I was already, one leg up, and then obviously he made me an offer, and he, I saw him backstage, and he's like, "Wait until I tell my wife."
It's great, man. It's so great.
Yeah. So and we're still partners, man. It's been a good partnership. We're work together, and we're still trying to figure out how to get the best out of them.
For sure. Yeah, no, I have a section on him. Let's come back to him, but I gotta ask you a few more questions about Shark Tank, right? Because for any entrepreneurs listening to this, right, getting on Shark Tank is almost, it's almost like the pinnacle of like your entrepreneur journey. I know there's more, right? You can create success, that would be a better pinnacle, but like from an idea standpoint to an execution standpoint, to be standing on that stage with all the lights on you, with the cameras on you, in front of multi-millionaires or billionaires like Mark Cuban, like that's just so cool. You got to celebrate that, right? And so what I would like you to do is just talk a little bit more about about that process, the backstage stuff. Like, how does it happen when you come out on stage? Is there like a script that you follow? Are you all off the cuff? Can you make an error? Talk a little bit more about this experience on being on that show, because it changed your life, you know?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's definitely life changing. And like I said, I was just so grateful to have been, you know, selected to be one of the people to go there. I'm not different than you or anybody else listening, really. I'm really a nobody, but it's about being there. You know, it's almost like you say, you know, you gotta play to win. If you don't play, the only thing that you can guarantee is that you're not gonna win. So it's being there and trying. You know, we try so many things, and some things hit, some don't. You know, with Shark Tank, it was just a blessing, and it's a process, right? So you got to meet with the producers. You know, the producers are checking you out. So we did a lot of like Zoom and like kind of like being on camera kind of interviews with them. And they were looking at you, like they're trying to figure you out. You know, it's like, is this guy like, you know, someone that we think could be good for TV? Really, that's what they're trying to figure it out, you know? And then if they feel like, okay, this guy's got potential, then it's like, is it coachable? You know what I mean? Because at some point you're going to be standing in front of these sharks and, you know, are you one of those people that's just going to freeze or is going to start to like, you know, like panic, you know, or just not be able to deliver, you know? So,
right.
You know, they want to make sure that you do well. So, you know, we go through these different sort of like, you know, trials in a way, where I will stand in front of the camera in front of them and I will sort of deliver, you know, a pitch to them. And so they, you know, they kind of help you a little bit. It's like, hey, yeah, you know, everything was great, but like, we want to see a little more smile, or, you know, make sure you always, you know, look to their eyes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, another tip that, I mean, the biggest tip that I got from it is like, always, no matter what, always smile. And when you talk, I was like, oh, like, how do you do that? You know, it's talking and smiling. It's not easy, you know? Right. And it kind of took a little bit of practice for me to do that. And now I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing it. But but they say that, you know, because it kind of grabs the attention of the viewer. So then, you know, in my case, I didn't go to LA, which is usually where these things are filmed. Because of COVID, LA was closed. So we went to Las Vegas, you know, and they had the whole set, you know, put in, kind of replicated in Las Vegas. And I had to stay in a room for, I think it was 10 days, inside a room for 10 days which it was almost like jail. I couldn't get out of the door, right?
Wow.
Now they tell you, you could go there, but if we find you, you know, you will be disqualified. Because of the whole COVID thing that I was
going on.
That's why, you know, they didn't want you to get infected with COVID and then go on stage and get the sharks infested, you know, et cetera. So I was actually happy to be in that position, because even though it sucked just to be inside one room for 10 days, it gave me time to reflect. It gave me time to practice. It gave me time to learn more about my own business and kind of, you know, learn some of the things that I had to work on in order to get better on camera.
Yeah.
So it gave me that time to do that. When the time came, man, it was just, I don't know. I had a song, you know, that I used to listen to. It's by Iron Maiden, and it was kind of inspiring to me. And I used to put that every morning when I was taking a shower, you know.
What song? What song?
It would pump you up, man. It's called, what's the name of it? It's about a Greek god.
Okay.
Has a song, you know, and he has, and basically he grabs wings, but he sticks them with wax. And he, as he's going to the sun hits it and starts to melt out. But but the song talks about, you know, being able to like have these wings and just like fly away towards the sun. And that's why I kept thinking, man, yeah, I'm growing wings and I'm flying to that sun, you know. And that's why I kept thinking about it. And so that morning of of the show that I was supposed to meet the, you know, to pitch the investors. I had that song going on, and then they knock on the door. It's like, man, I'm ready. I went in the back, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then they just had me sit down in this big room for like 6 or 7 hours, man. I was like, oh, this sucks, right? So, you know, it was more waiting and waiting and waiting until they're like, all right, you know, you're on. Now, one of the things that I learned after that, which would have made me even more nervous, is that if they run out of time, you're shit out of luck. You know what I mean? Like, if you're supposed to go on a Monday and one of the sharks didn't feel well, or they were too tired, or it was taking, you know, some of the other pitches were went long, and you know, your time comes and they're like too tired for it. They're like, no, we're not seeing anybody anymore. And you're done. Go home.
Wow.
So it's lucky again enough to be able to, you know, pitch. And I was standing behind that curtain, you know. You've seen that they open up like those two doors
Yeah.
and they play that little song. Dun, 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 dun. So I'm standing behind it. It's like, yeah, you're ready, right? I was like, yeah, you know, they have the girls in the back, like they kind of do your hair and your makeup, and they're spraying some, like, you know, because they knew I was gonna take my jacket off, they were spraying like some like shiny stuff in it, you know, to make it look to make it look more better, I guess, on stage. And I'm standing behind those two doors, man, and the guy, they're not calling, they're not opening him, you know, and I'm like, it's fine, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then there's the one, I guess, stage manager or whatever, you know, he's standing right next to me, and he noticed that I was just like, dude, what's up? And so he started talking to me about the Giants, you know, about trying to get my mind off of it, which is awesome, because
Yeah.
it did. And then he's like, all right, man, now we're ready. I was like, all right. Once the doors open, it's game. It's game time, man. They do not stop filming. And they tell you that it's like once that is open, whatever you do, we're filming it. So I'm like, all right, man, I gotta make sure I don't trip as I walk, you know. And then there's an X, right, that you're supposed to stand on it. But they're telling you, it's like, listen, whatever you do, do not look at the X. Do not look at the X because on TV, it looks like you're looking down to something. But they want you to be in the right position, you know. So I'm walking, you know, looking forward and trying to, you know, have that, you know, bipedal vision, you know, that is like looking down here somewhere, looking for an X, you know. Luckily enough, I was close enough to the X, you know, and then they kind of stop. You just, you know, kind of look around and you're looking at all the sharks in front of you. And then they take a pause for about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes. And then they, if I wasn't right on the spot, they kind of help me. They basically tell me, yeah, take one step up or to the side so that I'm in the middle. And then they start kind of like changing, you know, their cameras and angles, I guess, or whatever, right? And then they give you the go again. And then the go is when you start, you know, kind of giving your pitch. And that's how we did it, man. I get the pitch halfway through it. If you see the episode, it was a shit show. And one thing, man, that happened that you didn't see, because a lot of people was like, man, your pitch was perfect, you know. Obviously, I don't think it was. I can find a million of, you know, mistakes that I made because I know what I wanted. And maybe 80% of it was not what I wanted. But it kind of came out okay for someone that doesn't, you know, if you don't know anything about it, you just think, okay, he did a good job. But what most people know is halfway through it, once I took my coat off, right? And I'm like flexing, like everybody's laughing, you know, everybody's talking, making comments. And this went on for like, I don't know, man, 3 minutes, you know? And so after everybody's just started to calm down, then it's like, all right, proceed. I'm halfway in my pitch. So it's like, proceed. And I'm like, dude, I have no idea where I was. I was already like, you know, like I had my pitch down path, man. Like you took me off and you derailed me. And now, like, you want me to come back? Like, so Mark, man, being the nice guy that he is, he's like, all right, this is the last thing you said was this. He remember, man. That guy has
That's
got
cool. Yeah.
He's got, I mean, like his vision is just, cinematic, man.
Yeah.
He basically just told me, like, listen, this is where you were. This is exactly what you said before. And I was like, oh, okay. And I got going again. So when they did the cut on TV, it looks like I just went through it
Got
flawlessly.
it.
But now, man, I was like starting to sweat. He was like, oh shit, I remember, what the hell, what was I? So yeah, man, that was kind of the experience.
So
And then,
cool.
it was fun, man.
That's so cool, man. The magic of editing. But no, I really appreciate you sharing that because, as viewers, right, as fans of the show, like we don't get to hear all that stuff. We like can imagine it, but I appreciate you sharing that. A lot of things that a lot of topics that I like to explore on this podcast is values that we have as athletes and entrepreneurs. And one of the values that I thought of when I knew that you were going to come on the show was this idea of confidence, right? And like, you had to have had it to be able to flex like that, take your shirt off and like, and handle all that laughter and handle the pauses of your presentation. So I was hoping you could just share a little bit of how you create your own confidence for yourself and then tips for other people for confidence building.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the confidence came a lot with practice, in terms of taking my shirt off, in terms of in front of public. Little things happen during your life that you don't know how they're going to affect you later in life, and the fact that I started by swimming, by being in little trunks in front of tons of people in competition, I mean, that has something to do with it. I'm not an exhibitionist, man. I hate being around. Like, I'm not one of those guys that are always like with the shirts off or anything, but I felt comfortable just being in my trunks, right? And then later on, I started doing more bodybuilding competitions, and the first time I did one, obviously I was scared, like kind of showing my body in front of like people, and they're judging you, so that kind of took. That experience, I think, helped me too, before I went on my, to show myself in front of the sharks and the world, right? I already kind of had that practice, and that gave me confidence,
Yeah, cool.
yeah. And the fact that I've also done dieting before to do bodybuilding shows, I knew that I could do, They gave me 30, I had 30 days to get like in really good shape for the show. And I was like, I know I can do it in 30 days. I've done it before. So again, that's part of confidence building.
Right.
Instead of delivering the pitch, man, I never really, I'm not a professional, person that does speeches or someone that speaks in public. I'm not a public speaker, So I didn't have that in me, but like I said, man, there's always something there. There's a trust that I have, I think, with my creator, man, that he's gonna pull me through, that as long as I give everything that I have and I can't, that the rest, he's gonna put it, he's gonna put
Yeah,
it.
man.
I've lived my life by that motto, man, all my life. And it's always come true.
Yeah.
The guy always come through, man. So I think that gives me confidence too, to know that, whatever happens, it's gonna be all right,
Totally. Now, I love that perspective. And obviously you had confidence negotiating with Mark Cuban too. I would let's talk about Mark Cuban because he's my favorite shark, not just because of the sports background that he has, but he's so astute. He's so smart. I love how he waits, he listens. He's a great listener and he waits for the right time. But then you guys got into a little bit of a negotiation. So what ended up happening for the audience, if you didn't see it, again, I'll link the video, is that he didn't really budge on equity and you kind of tried to negotiate him down, but then he added another 100 grand, which was like a big deal because he doesn't really do that. And even Kevin was like, "Hey, I've done this for 10 years with Mark. He never offers this kind of money. You should take that deal." So, talk a little bit about the negotiation and like any tips for anyone listening who wants to be an entrepreneur or who is an entrepreneur and wants to be a better negotiator.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, again, it's the same thing in preparation, right? Talk about confidence on negotiating. You got to prepare. So I had already done, my every possible scenario that could have gone on, you know, like equities, you know, share, like, you know, how much I could give, how much, you know, I will take. What if two sharks went in? What if three sharks went in? You know, what kind of split would I accept? And
Cool.
you know, what if Mr. Wonderful, you know, et cetera. And also people, like who, you know, like who would be the one that I want to go to, that I would prefer to be my investor. And, you know, depending on that, I started thinking about different ways of making a deal, right?
Interesting.
Like I would have taken a lower deal from Mark than I would from like Mr. Wonderful, for instance. In my head, I was thinking that.
Because
So
of his plant-based portfolio, basically, right?
exactly. I thought it was a much better fit. So I would have probably not, you know, not taking, you know, much of a negotiation. I would probably would have been giving up as much, let's say, to Mr. Wonderful versus, you know, versus Mark.
Got it.
So, you know, and one of the things, you know, I was kind of fixed too on the equity thing, you know, but I tell you, man, the guy is smart. And the reality is that by him putting more money into it, you know, makes it more important to him. You know what I'm saying? Like if you only put like 200,000, 100,000, even for a small percentage, you know, for a smaller percentage, what's 100,000? It's nothing. I mean, even 400 for him is nothing. But at the same time, it raises the stake for him, where he will feel like, you know what, there's more stakes here for me. I gotta be a little more involved in this one, you know. So, and I think he also felt like, you know what, man, you're gonna need more than 300 bucks. You know, at the stage you are, you probably need more. So, you know, he knows his stuff, man. He knows his stuff. And so I was pretty happy of the outcome, you know, and just having him on your back, dude, it's just so big. Forget about the money, you know, just having his name behind you and, you know, kind of like listen to his advice. And he's got a great team that I work with too, you know. And you know, these are people that are like top, man. So just to have that's invaluable, you know.
It's so cool, man. Like I told you before, man, like he's my favorite shark, you know, and just like the way he asks questions and listens, and it just seems like out of all the sharks, no disrespect to the other sharks, but I just feel like he's like the best one to get to have on your team, right? To be able to email or call and be, or even his team, you know, and even pick their brain about certain things about your business, but even business in general. Do you do that at all?
Yeah, so I mean, usually, you know, we give Mark like weekly and quarterly reports, right? He comments on it, you know. Usually, when there's something big, like for instance, when we first started, you know, he wanted us to rebrand, to change, you know, how the bag looked and even some of the messaging and stuff. So, you know, that was clear, and so we started going back and forth. You know, okay, you know. What should we do here? And then we started trying things out and we were presenting it to him and he was just, you know, approving it and saying, no, this sucks. You know, let's try something else, try differently. And so, you know, we went through the whole process, which is where what made us change from the bag that you see on Shark Tank to the bag that we have today, you know, which is more attractive, you know, it's more attractive for retails. It tells the consumer more about what to expect. He gets involved in that and those kind of things. But, you know, on the daily little things like, okay, you know, let's talk about, you know, social media, you know, like what are we gonna do and things like that. He's got a team of people that are talented that, you know, we meet with them weekly, you know, and, we go over some of our ideas and, you know, they kind of help us out, you know, with adding more ideas or resources, you know, advice, you know. And so he won't be part of those conversations, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dr. Juan, I know we're over time a little bit. Do you have a few more minutes?
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Because I want to ask you a little bit more generally now about what you've learned in your entrepreneurial journey, specifically about marketing, about mission and purpose, learning you know, the differences between direct to consumer or in retail, you know, just like, I know that's a lot of stuff right there, but unpack any of that stuff that, you know, stuff that you've learned and try to make it relatable to someone listening who might be along that journey.
Yeah. I mean, marketing, man, that's a tough one. You know, I feel like there's no one formula, you know, there's no one formula. What has worked maybe for a certain company might not work for you. You know, I think a lot of it is trial and error. And then that's what we've been going through, man, right now. It's like, we've tried everything that you can ever imagine in the books. You know, the only thing that I don't think we've done is a billboard. I haven't tried a billboard, man, which I should. Yeah. I think I've seen a couple of companies do well with billboards, you know.
If you do, do one out here in California, because we got your target market out here.
I don't know if you've seen the Eat Bro. Have you seen the Eat Bro? Yeah. That's a company that makes like meals for, you know, people that go to the gym and things like that. It's huge here in the Northeast. And all they did was billboards, man, with this stuff. So Eat Clean Bro, it's called Eat Clean Bro.
Eat Clean Bro. Got it. Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing else. Huge, I mean, very successful marketing strategy that they did. You know, we don't have big budgets, man. So we try to do things like try to get the best return on our investment and everything that we do, right? And what we notice is that there's almost like two targets that you're following. One is like, it's the outside, the out there target, the 6 months from now, you know, which is like your SEO, you know, your like social media falls into that, I believe, you know, it's just like your brand awareness, you know, it's something that's, it's not generating money right now, but that hopefully down the road, you know, is gonna do that. And the other thing is like, okay, that doesn't help me now, you know, I need money now, you know, how am I gonna generate those monies? And what we found is like the two things that work best for us, and I'm talking about online right now, is email marketing. Email marketing is huge. And that goes well as well with the SMS, you know, with text. That's probably the biggest, you know, marketing tool to generate revenue. And the other one is subscriptions, you know, subscriptions. So, you know, we just had a meeting with the marketing guys. So look, we everything that we do, let's try to hone in into how do we get more emails so that we can, you know, market to more people, and how do we get more people in subscription? You know?
Yeah.
So those are the two things. And retail is a whole different game.
Yeah.
But I tell you, man, retail is becoming also an online play.
So, Amazon?
No, I'm talking more like Instacart, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, typically retail was thought of, you know, if you want to do marketing retail, when you want to push product, you got to go in the store, you know, do demos, right? Do, you know, whatever samplings, offer coupons, you know, put some danglers in there, you know, something in the floor. Everything was about the store. But, you know, what we've been finding is that a lot of people now are not even going to stores anymore, you know?
Right.
They're still buying from the store. They're still buying from Wegmans, but they're using Instacart. They're getting all the products delivered to their home.
Interesting.
So even though they're pulling product out of the shelf, so it counts towards your retail sales, it's not being done by someone, by a customer literally picking the product from the shelf, but it's also, but it's a buyer that they have hired to come and buy all their stuff for them and deliver it to them by online, you know, purchase.
Yeah.
So that has become extremely more and more important for us to focus on than even at the store level, you know, so things are changing, man. That's another thing about, entrepreneur is you got to pivot all the time, you know?
I think one of the biggest changes is, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this too, is attention, right? Speaking of social media, right? Like, it's just so hard to get someone's attention now, right? We, including us, right? We have so many options of where we put our attention. And so when you say social media, actually, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because social media is something relatable to everyone, right? Everyone basically uses it now, you know? how do you stand out? How do you build a brand using social media and stand out and get someone's attention?
Yeah, man, we're still trying to figure it out.
Right. Right.
We're still trying to figure it out, man. I mean, someone we were talking today, man, and one of the things that you know, we try to follow trends, right? So we look at trends and we try to replicate some of those things, you know, like the green, you know, like the green background thing that's trending right now. Or, you know, one thing that, you know, my marketing guy just told me, it's like, yeah, you know, when we're doing videos and things like that, it's like, it's good to have something else, because people, like you just mentioned, like people are very distracted and they're not paying attention. If you have a dog, it's like, well, a cat, you know, like just kind of like moving around and cruising by, it's like people pay more attention to it. I'm like, I don't
know. So funny.
Maybe it's true, but it's a challenge, man. It's a challenge to be able to get that attention, you know? And we still haven't cracked the code, to be honest with you, man.
I think it's a conversation worth just having, right? Especially even with athletes, right? If you're an athlete listening to this right now, how do you get more exposure? How do you you know, grab someone like Dr. Juan's attention and say, hey, Dr. Juan, I got a following, you know, sponsor me, you know, look what I can offer. I think a big part of this whole game, that's why I've named this podcast Within the Game, because I think everything's a game. But this particular game that we're talking about, which is marketing and growing a brand and grabbing someone's attention, right, is what is the offer, right? And I think the better that we can get as entrepreneurs of identifying, this is my offer to you, here it is, check it out, I think that's a good start. But I also think that we're entering this age, we've already entered it. We started in COVID of content-based marketing, right? Like more and more people are making buying decisions based on content that they see on social media.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the other thing, man, is something that, you know, fundamentally we're being taught this in school and everything else, but you kind of would never really do it. Like, at least I didn't. And that's like, we tend to focus a lot too on the product, you know, because you've been so much in the product. So everything's about the product. And reality is, people don't care about the product, you know, they care about the solution, they care about what problem is this gonna solve for me, you know what I'm saying?
And so, also, how are they gonna feel? A big part of it is like, how am I gonna feel with this particular product, right?
So it's like in trying to sell like a fitness plan, you know, I could talk all about the great exercises inside and all this stuff, but I'm selling and trying to focus too much on the product. I'm like, no. So what's going to happen? What's the end result? You know, what is this doing for you? You know, I mean, like Ozempic doesn't have to say much. People are searching for it because that's something, you know, that's a solution to a problem that they need, you know? So it's like, you know, what is it? You know, what is that solution that we're promising these people that they will have? And is it believable? You know what I mean? Is it a believable solution that will make it a lot easier to market to? You know, you don't have to start pushing product to it, but, you know, people will start to, you know, hey, you know, I've heard about this, I want to hear more, you know?
Right. So yeah, no, that's really interesting. It's going to be a constantly evolving conversation in terms of marketing and grabbing people's attention. But I want to transition a little bit and ask you about mission and purpose, because actually what's happening, in my opinion, what I'm seeing in the marketplace is that if a company or a brand has a really strong, relatable mission and purpose, that can actually help grab the attention even more so sometimes than the actual product. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you're right. And, you know, I think you're probably talking also about, you know, whether it's a sustainable, you know, a sustainable story that you might have.
Right.
Or, you know, how's this helping the planet? And people, you know, tend to gravitate to, you know, to things like that. Like, you know, okay, yeah, I want to help the planet, you know, and now there's a way here that I could do this, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's you know, I think we all have some sort of a mission, and the question is like, how do we explain that mission? How do we
yeah
know about this mission? And that's it. And that's
That's
it.
it right there, man. How do you convey it, right? Yeah.
Exactly right. And I think that's why we stumble, you know, and it's a learning process that, you know, I don't think we're doing a good job at it personally here at PNF. Not yet, you know.
But hey, I applaud you for that vulnerability right there because we all got to get better at stuff. I got to get better at conveying my message too, of the staying inspired and the inspired athlete is within you, like all that kind of stuff. But what I also respect about PNUF is that there's an implied mission. That's what I want to say this publicly to you right now. There's an implied mission, which I don't even know if it's the mission or not, but it's implied that it's like, I want, when I say I, meaning you, I want everyone out there to be healthy. That's a mission. Like, I want you to feel good. There's nothing better than feeling good. Nothing better. You could have all the money in the world, but if you don't feel good, what's it for? There's nothing better than feeling good. So one of the mission, or maybe one of the ideas of this product and your company is to help make people feel good,
That's
you
it,
know?
man. Actually, our thing is about help people, you know, stay active and be active.
Active, right?
That's what we want.
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's what I want. You know, that's I think before I started, you know, this company, you know, I started thinking about the reason exactly what every entrepreneur goes through, man. It's like I don't think successful entrepreneurs think of, okay, what am I gonna do to make a shitload of money, you know? I think successful entrepreneurs, and I mean successful, not meaning that you're gonna make money or not, but the fact that you start something and you do it, that makes you a successful person already. And I think it has to come from something deep inside that you feel like you want to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yes.
So it's like,
Yes.
whether it's, you know, whatever that you're passionate about, you gotta have that passion. And to me, I think it's self-explanatory. I have this passion for like just health and nutrition and being active and sports, man. It's like I wish everybody was doing it. I wish everybody was, you know, running marathons and 5Ks, and like every weekend we'll see people, you know, roads full of bikes and not full of cars. You know what I'm saying? That's like a dream to me, you know.
That's
So
cool, man.
this product was meant to be kind of like, okay, you know, we're sort of like your snacking companion, you know, to your daily active life. You know, we're
That's
gonna be
cool.
that kind of thing. So, and that's what keeps me going, man, because you know, it's tough out there, man. It's very
It
tough.
is tough out there. And no, but that's so cool. I'm so glad you said that because my next question for you was, what's the vision? You know, what's next? Where are we going from here with PNUF?
Yeah, so I mean, right now we're trying to establish this brand and trying to get more awareness on what we currently have, you know. My whole life, 25 years that I worked for these other companies you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I was a product innovator, you know.
Right.
You know, when I talk to you about discovery and like all this stuff, that's all part of me, you know. That's what gets me going, that's what gets my endorphins going in the morning. So I have all these ideas that I want to do, you know? And I have to like, all right, dude, fine. Look, gotta get this going, and then we're gonna have more things that we can do. But my thought is to continue to grow this brand to be, you know, a recognizable brand for active nutrition. You know, people that could trust it and be like, hey, it's made by you know, PNUF, Perfect Life Nutrition, you know, it's good for me, and I could trust that everything they're doing here is legit and it's science based, you know, and it's not just some marketing scheme that they're trying
Right.
to. But you know, there's real good stuff here that has been well thought out.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I hope, you know, we get
Yeah.
to.
And like I shared with you before, and like, 'cause I wanna see you grow. I wanna see you become like uber successful. Like, you know, one of the other Shark Tank products, there's two that come to mind, Scrub Daddy and Bombas, that sock. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah, of
Right?
course.
Like that, like I want to see you as one of those products from Shark Tank. And I think you could get there. I really do. So I have two more things for you. I know we're over time. Thank you for that. Thank you for your time. Advice for other entrepreneurs, Dr. Juan.
Advice.
What could you tell other entrepreneurs who are either about to start something, they haven't started yet, or they're currently in their journey and they're just trying to figure out how to keep going?
Yeah, I could tell you a couple of things that even Mark Cuban has told me.
Yes.
And he tells this all the time too, if you hear some of his podcasts and things. But one is like, watch your money. Watch your money, man. You know, money is, you know, we tend to think that by spending more money, we're going to get, you know, we're going to get better results from our marketing or from our retailers and all this stuff. And I'm proof that that's not the truth. That's not right. That's not always the case, you know. And you could overspend on marketing, you can overspend on retail marketing and launches and things like that and get zero results, you know. So it's a try and error kind of thing. I'm not saying don't go out there and try things, but watch it. Watch your money, you know what I mean? Spend it wisely and don't think that, you know, by spending, you know, $500,000 in marketing, you're going to become the next Nabisco or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The other thing he talks about is, you know, it's the top line versus the bottom line. You know, to him, it's all about the bottom line. It's like, I don't care how much money, how much sales you're presenting me. If your margins here are just terrible, if your profits are like negative, it's like, he's not interested in it, man. He's not interested. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of us like to think that, hey, no, right now, you know, I'm losing money and it's okay, you know, because as I grow, you know, my manufacturing is going to become more efficient and therefore the cost is going to come down and therefore my profits are going to go up. And I tell you, that doesn't happen. It's not happening. It's happened. It will happen one day, you know, hopefully. But the reality is you can't think, okay, this is going to happen tomorrow, the next year. It's like, no, you got to live, you got to survive the year, you know, and you got to be thinking, hey, how am I going to make money, you know,
right.
I don't make money with this thing. Because again, you know, how are we going to realize my mission is not to make money, but I have to make money in order to realize that vision, which is for everybody to be able to try my product and love it, you know? So, you know, I gotta make sure that I keep my head, you know, kind of looking at both things, you know, growing sales, but also need my profits too, you know what I mean? And the other thing is, you know, aside from that, the Mark Cuban thing, my thing is more about, you know, if you're starting, like, don't think that you could do everything yourself, you know? Entrepreneurs, man, we got to be involved with everything, that's for sure. But don't feel like, you know, you got to be the expert of accounting and finance and, you know, marketing and sales. But, you know, surround yourself with a good network of people, you know, always look out for networking. And I think 80% or 90% of all my problems have been solved by a phone call to somebody, man. It's like, shit, I do hear, man. Hey, bro, what's up, man? What do you do? And it's like, you know, I'm going through this. Have you gone through it? Yeah, I did. It's like, wow, fuck, how do you solve that? You know, rather than try to figure it out yourself. And, you know, the support system too, man, like networking for that reason, but also support system. Because as you know, and all entrepreneurs, man, we go through a roller coaster of emotions. And sometimes it's very hard, man. Sometimes it's just like, I don't know if I could do this again, you know, or I could continue. And you need somebody solid, you know, next to you to say, dude, come on, man, get over it. Okay, let's go, you know. And, you know, to me, like my girlfriend, man, she's my stronghold, man. Every time like I'm defeated, you know, she doesn't let me get defeated, man. She's like, the bull, you know, it's just like, no, dude. You know, well, we'll do this now, tomorrow. We'll solve that tomorrow. Don't worry. And so, you know, I think that's important to have.
I think that's fantastic. And the things that I would add to that is to allow yourself to go for it, which is to get out of your own way. Right. And like you said, to ask, to ask for help. There's a power in the way that you ask, right? The ask is so important, right? Asking either you could, it could be anyone asking someone for help, or even asking someone for some time to just talk, right? Like that's a big part of it too, I would say. Dr. Juan, I want to finish with this idea of fulfillment. What does fulfillment mean to you?
Oh, fulfillment. I mean, I feel fulfilled at the end of the day when I have, given everything I can. If I feel like I did everything I could, I feel good at the end of the night, whether I was able to accomplish something or not, whether something was positive or negative. I like to reflect at night, man. I wake up every morning. My first thing I do, I go to mass, I pray, and that kind of gets me going at the beginning of the day. And then at night, before I go to sleep, I also do some reflection. And I always think about, like sometimes days are terrible, man, but I always try to find something positive on it. You know what I mean? Some positive. And I feel like, you know what? I feel good, and I think that's part of the whole fulfillment thing, like, have you done what you can? Have you done good? You know what I mean? Do you shit, do you do something that you shouldn't have done, and kind of reflect on that and why you did it. And at the end of the day, you got to feel like what you're doing is for good, So I think that's, that's the best answer I could give you on that.
That's well said, bro. Well said, indeed. Mic drop. Dr. Juan, this has been an absolute pleasure. I would love to have you back for round two sometime. Before we go, tell people how they can best follow you or support you and buy the product.
Yeah, so to buy the product, let's go to our website, which is pnuff.com, pnuff.com. You can follow our pnuff. Pnuff Crunch. But if you want to follow me, Dr. Juan, I'm Dr. Juan Pnuff on all social medias.
Cool.
And so, yeah, please, man, any questions or anything, I'm always available, seriously, and I'd love to help others if I can, in any way I can.
That's awesome. I really admire that accessibility, and I would suggest that everyone listening to this or watching this, leave a comment, tell us what your biggest takeaway was from this conversation, and try the product. I'm going to leave links below, and maybe we can even come up with some discounts for our listeners. Again, Dr. Juan, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And for all the listeners and viewers, I appreciate you guys. Stay inspired, y'all. Peace and blessings.
Thank you, man.